time now for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history, or this hurricane in history, as the case may be, with Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire. I almost said histraordinaire, which is a completely different thing.
Well, it's
joining us here now
can...
in the studio. Yeah. How are you?
Well, it's good to be here, Aaron, and especially during this week and with hurricanes on everybody's mind right now. There is some question about, are we in a hurricane now or not? They keep saying, well, the hurricane hasn't arrived. When I look at the maps, it's like, it looks like it's pretty much here.
it's a hurricane if the winds are at a certain, 79 miles an hour or something,
right,
is when it's technically a hurricane. But if
that's
it's
right,
a storm, that's a hurricane in the middle. And we're seeing rain and clouds, and you look at the radar and you
yes,
see that kind of swoop down, then we're in a hurricane.
Yeah,
I think this
yeah,
counts right now.
I think it does count. That's
the
right.
First time I ever saw, it was a tropical storm. I grew up in Michigan, so none of that there. But the first time I ever actually experienced something like
right,
a hurricane was when I was in New Jersey for grad school. And it was early. It was my first or second year there. And they got a tropical storm that had made its way up the coast and was going in through Jersey. And it wasn't going to be that significant of an impact. We were just going to get like that little tail on the end, which is going to flip through New Brunswick. But I happened to be driving around when it did. And I still remember, like, just instantly sheets of rain coming down. I was like, wow, this is what people experience.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know until you see it the first time.
No, and the satellite views really give a really good picture when you see that it's 500 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cartoon graphics that show the little eye coming in and
doing this,
all this curlicues and Carolina.
That gives you a little bit
of
where
yeah,
it's going to be. Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about
see
South Carolina.
Shag dancing
yes,
hurricane.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right. Well, you know, South Carolina. China is like 200 miles wide. North Carolina is 150 miles wide, and Virginia is 200 miles wide.
Mm.
So basically, the storm is as big as three states.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that gives you a better idea. Will we get rain? Yes. And so sometimes you see those projections like it's going to dip down and then up, and nothing's happening in the triangle isn't quite accurate.
Right,
so,
right.
But
so
you know,
give us the historical perspective.
Yes, well,
on
the historical
hurricane
perspective is really quite interesting. Because this is about history matters, and hurricanes really do play a part. One of the earliest accounts we have actually in this part of the world, and hurricanes are the storms, these large storms that rotate counterclockwise. Cyclones are the ones you find in the southern hemisphere where they rotate clockwise. So it's kind of one of those unusual things,
mm-hmm,
but that's how you know which kind of a storm you're dealing with. It really, basically, depending on which part of the world you're in. In 1495, Columbus encountered a hurricane near Hispaniola, and it's one of the earliest accounts. And he later declared, quote, "Nothing but the service of God and the extension of the monarchy would induce him to expose himself to such danger."
Glad he's got his priorities straight.
That's it, exactly. There was a Spanish fleet in 1559, 74 ships sent to recapture Florida, and most of the fleet was sunk due to a hurricane. There's another one that was a French fleet was destroyed in 1565. But here's an interesting one. There were actually colonists in a boat called the Sea Venture bound for Virginia to relieve the starving Jamestown colonists in 1609 when a hurricane crippled the ship on July 28, 1609, and many of the 150 men, women, and children aboard found safety in the Bermuda Islands and settled that, which is the kind of the offside of like, this is another disruptive event that has a
Is that the
impact.
Reason Bermuda got settled in the first place?
I think
was
so,
that?
at least from the European side
okay,
of things. There's also Ben Franklin plays a part. When I run across this, I'm like, how did Ben Franklin play a part? He was going to study a lunar eclipse, but the remnants of a hurricane ruined his evening. So he began, because he was such an intensely curious person, to study it and learn that the storm had moved up against the Atlantic seaboard against the surface winds, and it becomes one of the first scientific studies of hurricanes.
Interesting.
Which is really interesting.
You wonder if he would have studied it if it hadn't been for the lunar eclipse ruining his evening.
Yeah, exactly.
If it had just been a storm, he would have been like, whatever.
Yeah, so what, whatever. But that, I think these are the kind of things that shape and change things. There's one that happens now this one was really curious, in 1775, and you may have come across this, called the Independence Hurricane. This happened on September 2nd, and this hurricane comes along the East Coast, comes into North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and at that point, there was supposed to be the Continental Congress had enacted a ban on trade with Britain to take effect on September 10th. So all these ports are filled with ships already, and this hurricane comes in and devastates that. And then, and places here in North Carolina had warehouses that were blown apart, ships were deposited on shore. But then one of the interesting things that occurred, and this is, you know, this we're talking about September 1775, April is when we have Lexington and Concord, right, the preceding spring. Well, it grounds a couple of British warships. And one of them has his cannons said, if you come at us, we're going to fire cannons. They have to wait until the tide can float them again. Another one, though, the HMS Mercury was grounded near Norfolk. And that's the one that survives. But the other one that did not, it was called the Liberty, was grounded at Hampton. And citizens boarded the ship, took its cargo, arrested the sailors, and burned the ships. One of the first real acts of war after Lexington Concord, which is...
All starts with a hurricane.
That's right. Yeah. But then, this is the interesting thing. Now, otherwise, it might have been a storm that would have passed into history.
Right.
But either it regroups going up the Atlantic coast, or some meteorologists think that there was a second storm that pounds Newfoundland shortly after this, and it devastates the fishing industry. 700 ships go down, carrying nearly 4,000 sailors.
Wow.
And it's huge. And because most of this catch was intended for England, what it's interpreted in the colonies, at least to some people, is our cause is right, and we have the Almighty on our side, and the forces of nature are going to come to our aid. Now, isn't that interesting? And that's how I get this name of the Indo, and I had never heard of that before.
Wow.
And so thank you for saying, gee, what about hurricanes?
That's got to be, got to be just sort of in general one of the hardest hurricanes to hit Newfoundland. You never think about a storm going up that far.
Yes. Oh, yeah, my God. Well,
every
often. They don't have the kind of things that we have now, but even when we saw the movie The Perfect Storm or read the book,
right,
you know, that was the combination of factors. Even when people had advanced warning, they still did not see what was coming until it was too late.
Also true.
Cases.
Like that's the other question, and you might not know this about like when hurricanes became forecastable.
Right.
Like how far in advance did people know that a hurricane was coming? At some point, like at a certain point in history, you just have to be standing on the shore of the ocean looking offshore and seeing a storm coming, and that's as much advance notice as you have, but now we've
that's
got several days or more.
So that's 1775, and then there's another one that happens in 1780 that's actually strikes the Caribbean near Martinique and Barbados on October 18th, and it's one of the most deadliest hurricanes in history, claims 22,000 lives. More than that, it also disrupted the trading that the British were doing to resupply New England. So people have said that was another factor in the British being able to say, we can't continue this
anymore,
the war. Two fascinating little pivot points, and not that we're facing anything like now. To now, we're facing more, let's make sure to get people to safety. Let's make sure that we do the right thing by way of what's happening in this area. And it's just wonderful to see the kind of of real intentionality that's going on.
Yeah, this is also an interesting thing too, because nowadays we have people who, and we think of them as kooks for the most part, who will go on TV and say, "Oh, this is an act of God punishing our society because we didn't vote for the thing that I wanted everyone to vote for," or something like that. But back in the day,
and actually probably not
that long ago, but in the 1700s,
people did think that,
but it affected the course of history.
Yes.
Like people might have been more interested or more inclined to support the revolution because there was a hurricane in 1775.
Well, because there was, of course, you know, after Lexington Concord, despite the popular sentiment, there was still uncertainty about doing this. But when they saw that, some people saw this as a sign that, yes, our cause is just, And that convinced some, which is a very interesting little footnote of history dealing with hurricanes.
All right, speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. So we're through the 1700s. We only have a few minutes left, but you got 2.5 centuries to go here, dude.
Well, of course, North Carolina is ranked fourth after Florida, Texas, and Louisiana in the number of hurricanes that come to the state either directly or indirectly. And that's a pretty, because it sticks out there. If you look at the maps, I think we all know that. But also, there have been 413 known tropical or subtropical cyclones that have affected the U.S. state of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'd call it 414 if we count this one as well, which is an unusual distinction to have.
And you usually think about it hitting Florida, that we think about the hurricane this strong going this far north as being rare, but it's not rare.
No.
The strength of the storm is rare.
Gulf of Mexico, U.S. Virgin Islands, or Puerto Rico, or Florida, and then there's us.
Yep.
The earliest storm to affect the state was subtropical storm Andrea on May 7th, 2007. In other words, the hurricane season.
Oh, earlier in the
later.
Calendar year.
That's right.
Okay. And the latest, I was going to say, I think we got hurricanes before 2007. Okay, earlier in the year. Gotcha.
The latest was one, a tropical storm that moved across the Outer Banks on December 2nd, 1925.
Wow.
One of the things I was really interested to know was that it's in 1953 that the United States began using names for storms. And they started using first female storms.
Right.
And then by 1978, both male and female names were used to identify northern Pacific storms.
So Hurricane Hazel, which was 54, was one of the first named major storms ever.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then it was adopted in 1979 for storms in the Atlantic Basin to use male and female names. But the interesting thing, too, is that if a storm is so deadly or costly, they actually retire the name.
Yes.
So they actually have a group of names. They use them every 6 years. And then if something is really deadly, you will never see another hurricane.
And they have a list of replacement names.
That's right. You'll never see another Hurricane Katrina name for that reason. And I doubt we'll see another Florence after this event as well, which is really interesting to realize that we have enough in terms of the history that affects this part of the state, how it affects the coast. In fact, some people have even suggested the lost colony disappeared because of a hurricane. However, there are those who say, wait a minute, there's a fence found, there's the Croton sign that they said, no, that's unlikely. But that is a theory that's been out there.
We'll never know.
All
right. History.
Wait. They always say there's one more thing. I've got to tell you this because this is important. On September 10th, this is this week, 1934, a fellow is born in Wilmington. Now, this is one that's facing all this hurricane. He becomes, goes on to school, graduates from Charlotte Central High School, and then becomes, goes to UNC, and becomes a fellow who we know better from his On the Road features, Charles Carroll.
Charles Carroll,
who also,
yes.
and here is the rest of the story, worked at WCHL, which is one of the reasons why it's
we
the
still
greatest.
Got a picture of young Charles Carroll back in the bag.
Exactly. So anyone who's listening to the station, you're listening to a really historically significant station, and certainly with people like Aaron here, certainly one of the best in the state, for catching up on news about hurricanes and history.
History Matters. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.